Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. I want us to look at Daniel chapter 9 and learn a few things from Daniel and his praying before we spend some time praying for our schools, our teachers, our students. I thought that was a mighty wind rushing. Daniel was reading the Bible. He tells us, in the year after Babylon fell and when Darius began to reign in Babylon. And he doesn't tell us exactly what he was reading, but he does say he was reading Jeremiah, what Jeremiah had written to and about the exiles. He likely was reading Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11 and 12, which the prophet Jeremiah says that this whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then it will be when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity. And the land of the Chaldeans, I will make an everlasting desolation. And as Daniel reads that, he realizes that that is a prophecy that had been fulfilled. Babylon and the Chaldeans had been punished. The Medes and the Persians had destroyed them. And just a little bit later in the Daniel scroll, in the Jeremiah scroll, Daniel reads Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 through 14. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back from exile to this place, to Jerusalem. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. And so Daniel finds hope. He finds faith. He realizes that Jeremiah had promised, had predicted that after 70 years, Babylon would fall and his people in exile would return, would be restored to Jerusalem. And Daniel thinks, well, the first part of that promise has been fulfilled. Daniel, or Babylon, has fallen. So why not the second part? The restoration. And Daniel started praying. Remember, this is the same time frame of Daniel chapter 6 when he was praying three times a day in his upper room with a window open toward Jerusalem. He was claiming this promise in prayer. And we get to read his prayer in Daniel chapter 9. Just briefly tonight, I want you to see the beginning and the end of Daniel's prayer. We'll look at the whole of the prayer later on. But look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God, to seek him by prayer. By the way, it's one of the most simple and beautiful definitions of prayer in the Bible. To give your attention to the Lord. I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. I want you to notice that Daniel begins by carefully addressing God. He addresses him with praise. He reminds himself of who God is. He's powerful and he's faithful. He's great and mighty, and he's full of chesed, of loving kindness, of covenant loyalty toward his people. And it's in light of who God is in all of his glory and praise that Daniel prays. And he begins by confessing sin. And notice Daniel is not just confessing Daniel's sin, he's confessing the sins of God's people. And what follows in verse 6 through 16 is one of the most powerful and beautiful examples in the Bible of corporate confession. Not I have sinned, but we have sinned. Daniel praying not to confess his personal sin, but corporately confessing the sins of the people of God. Lord, you are right. We are wrong. I agree with you and I grieve over our sin and its consequences. Your judgment is just. And this is an aspect of prayer that is almost wholly neglected by the people of God today. We're pretty good about confessing our personal sins and seeking God's forgiveness for ourselves. And we're pretty good about identifying the sin of our nation, our culture, the people around us. But the Bible teaches us that it's not enough to merely identify our sins, the sins that we share together as a people, as a nation, as a city, that we confess our sins corporately. So even tonight, as we think about going to our schools and praying for our schools, our students, our teachers, we think about corporate confession. We think about all that our children are dealing with, the broken down families and the racial division and the hopelessness and despair that is so often a part of life today. Does the church share any responsibility for that? We are the salt and the light. Will we own our responsibility, our part in the moral decay and the darkness? Not just identifying their sin, but confessing our sin. Daniel is a righteous man. He's a godly man. He's exemplary. Remember, he's above reproach. You can't find any fault in this man, but he's owning the sin of the people of God. It's corporate confession. And we'll look at it later. You can read it on your own. He goes on and on and on with confessing the sins of the people of God. And finally, in verse 17, we come to the climax of the prayer. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. Oh my God, do not delay because your city and your people are called by your name. Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord God on behalf of the holy mountain of my God. In verse 21 talks about Gabriel the angel appearing. We'll look at that in weeks to come. I want you to see that Daniel's prayer involved praising God and corporate confession, but also clear asking. He's claiming God's promises in prayer. He has read God's promises to restore the city, and now he's asking God to keep that promise. Notice in verse 17, he says, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. That's the temple in Jerusalem. In both verse 18 and verse 19, he prays that you would forgive, that you would intervene on behalf of your city. That's the city of Jerusalem. Verse 20, he prays for your holy mountain. So God is claiming, or Daniel is claiming God's promise to restore the temple, the city, the holy mountain. He's asking for God's faithfulness to intervene and keep that promise. And he's giving God the reason why. He says, this is because of your promise to restore. He says in verse 18, it's not because of our merits, but because of your compassion that we pray. And over again, he reminds God, this is for your glory, for your sake, for a people called by your name, for a city called by your name. This is for your own sake. Lord, defend your reputation as a God of power and faithfulness. Show your glory by keeping your promise and restoring your people. He's praying this over and over and over again. Praise and confession, claiming the promises of God for the sake of God's glory in the midst of his people. Daniel gives us a great model for prayer. And we're going to look at that again in the weeks to come, but I wanted you to be mindful of that as we pray tonight. As I mentioned this morning, and Jeff DiGiacomo mentioned earlier, this week is a week of a special week of prayer. Later on this week, our students will gather together at See at the Pole. And we want to participate and help them with this special time of prayer. And so Jeff DiGiacomo is prepared. We're not going to have a come forward invitation. We're going to have a go get them invitation tonight. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do what we see Daniel doing in this text. Praying on behalf of the people of God, claiming the promises of God, confessing together corporately our sin and our need for God's intervention.